Good morning. This is Roland Springs Baptist Church, and we are now studying in Hebrews Part 2, and today we are in Lesson Number 9. And in this lesson, we are going to see all that we have studied previously, and today's lesson points to the fact that of what the Hebrew author has written to us in his letter and to these Hebrew Jews that have become believers, that because of what he has written to them about Jesus, that Jesus is better. And so, since he is better, how are we to live our lives? So, our focus then is going to be today on Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 31. But we will do some observation on verses through 39. So, in the structure of the previous chapters that we have studied, we come to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. And this particular place in the book of Hebrews marks the main division of Hebrews. So at this point, we'll turn to the more practical part of the book, and we'll leave off that heavy doctrine that we have previously earned. But before we begin our study today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the book of Hebrews. We're so thankful for your entire word that you have penned down through these that you have inspired through the Holy Spirit. And today, as we begin to study, Father, we want to come to you, Father, in humility and repentance, Father, that you may teach us your precious word and help us that we may live it out to glorify your name. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. So, thus far, as we have studied, the author of Hebrews has established the supremacy of God, of Jesus Christ. He has shown that how that he is better than the prophets, better than the angels, that Jesus is better than Moses and better than the Aaronic priesthood. And he has also shown us that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. So we learned that he is one that entered into the greater and more perfect tabernacle. And he offered a better sacrifice than that was offered in the Old Testament through the blood of animals. So, the author now is exhorting these that he's writing to and to us today to exhort us, to encourage us. And now he is saying that since you know all of this, how are you going to live out your life? How is it going to become a light to you, that you may live your life in obedience to the Word of God? So, we're looking now at some of the things previously that were mentioned. We learned that the Old Testament taught the law, and then it also gave an old covenant that was written on stone. And that was given to Moses by God. And then we've learned that the New Testament brought grace through Jesus. And he also brought a new covenant. And he said in his own words that he would write it in the hearts and the minds of those that believed upon his name. And we found that in John 1, verse 17. So, the Old Testament, they were still conscious of sin, and they had to continually offer sacrifices. And it could only cover their sins for a period of 1 year at a time, and it didn't take away their sins. And then we learned under the New Testament and the New Covenant that grace was given by Christ offering himself as one sacrifice for our sins for all time. So, here we see that the forgiveness of sins is no longer an offering of sin. It has been offered one time by Jesus. So we're going to go forward now in our study by going into Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 21. And I'm going to read these verses and then we'll discuss what they mean. So starting with verse 19 in chapter 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So, here we're looking at the cross. We're looking at what has brought us the new covenant, what has brought about grace, and it was through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it says, by a new and living way, which he, Jesus, inaugurated through the veil, that's through his flesh. When he went to the cross, he not only covered us with his blood, covered our sins, but he took away our sins. And as we read in the scriptures, the veil was split from top to bottom, and that veil represented Jesus' own flesh. That he died there, that he gave his own self, his own body, his flesh, that we might have life eternal, life everlasting. So, here we are learning about the new covenant and Jesus as our great high priest. Now, I want to go ahead and read verses 22 through 25 so that we can see what the author is saying that we need to do since we know this. In verse 22, he says, let us approach God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our own meeting together, as in the habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is drawing near. So here in these verses, we see that he is giving us of what we should do now that we know these things. Let's go back and look at Hebrews, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, because this is where the writer of Hebrews points out what we need to do, because we know that Jesus has died for us and his blood has not only covered our sins but taken away. So starting with verse 1, for this reason, this is in chapter 2 of Hebrews, for this reason, because we know this, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unaudible, and every violation and act of disobedience received a just punishment, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So he is saying here, because we know that Jesus has died and that his blood covered and took away our sins, we're to pay close attention. He says much closer attention to what we have heard. And you know, going back to the first chapter, the way that the writer of Hebrews started the chapter was saying that in the old days that they received the word through the prophets, but now, today, the word comes through Jesus himself, because here he says, for if the word spoken through angels proved unaudible, then how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Because it was first spoken through the Lord Jesus, and it was confirmed to us by those that heard it from Jesus, God testifying with them by giving signs and wonders and miracles, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So today, believers, he is saying, you have the testimony that came from those that heard it from Jesus, and by your belief, he has placed within you the Holy Spirit so that you have with confidence that the Holy Spirit lives in you, that Jesus himself died, and that he is living in you. So he is saying then in chapter 3, going back and look at what he says there, here in chapter 2, he says, pay much close attention to what you've heard. And now he's saying in chapter 3, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, Jesus, or God, as on the day of trial in the wilderness. So the writer is saying that God is saying, don't provoke me as though in the Old Testament provoked me when they came to the promised land that I had promised them. Then they provoked me by their unbelief. Now also let's look at chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 6. And he says in this verse, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who previously had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. And so that's where we are looking at what happened to the Israelites when they got to the promised land. They failed to enter because of disobedience. So the Hebrew writer is saying that it's important that you pay close attention to what you've heard, that you don't harden your hearts, and that if you do, there will be some that will remain to enter in to the promised land. And here he's talking about when Jesus comes back and takes his people to be with him in heaven forevermore. I want to go back and read here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And, you know, we have studied these verses and discussed them, but it's important that we go back because the writer is reminding them of what he has said previously and how important it is that we will be able to live out our lives knowing these things. So starting with verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible in the case of those who have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good work of God in the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the water, which often falls on it, produces vegetation, useful for those whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. So here he's saying, let's go away from your elementary teachings about Christ. You already know about Christ. You know about the laying of the foundation, which was Jesus. And you know that repentance comes through your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you have repented, he is saying, from your dead works. And now you've taken on faith by believing God. And you've already passed those Old Testament rituals of washing and laying on of hands. And you've learned about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So he's saying, for it is impossible. Now listen to this closely. In the case of those who have been enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God in the powers of the age to come. It's impossible for those that have heard the word, that have believed the word, because it says that they have tasted and that they have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. So if they have tasted the word and if they have become a part by receiving the Holy Spirit, he's saying it's these are the ones that have received and have believed. But he says, and then fallen away to restore them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to shame. He's saying that these that have become believers, then it would be impossible if they had tasted the word, if they had believed in the word and fallen away, it would be impossible for them to be restored, because he says, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to death. In other words, they're saying that it's impossible for Jesus to go back to the cross to die again for your sins and to be resurrected. He did that one time, and it only took the one sacrifice, the one time. So he is saying then that if you as believers did fall away, it would be impossible to bring you back to repentance, because you would be saying that Jesus would have to go back to the cross and die again. But he says, he gives an example here. He says, for the ground that drinks the rain, which often it falls on, produces vegetation useful for those sake. It is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it's worthless and close to being cursed and ends up being burned. So what he's saying here is, you as believers have come to know the word, the true word of God, and you have believed upon his name. And because of this, if you have fallen away, which they would not fall back away, they might continue, they will not continually willfully sin, but the flesh that they live in will sin. But he is saying that through this, he says that you will not be lost, because once you are saved, once Christ went to the cross and died for you and was resurrected and is seated at the right hand of the Father, then that's no longer necessary. Because he was without sin, he took our sin and he covered it with his blood. So it's not necessary. So even though that we may in this flesh sin, that it's impossible for us to fall out of salvation. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to leave those that have been sealed, those that believe upon the name of Jesus. So we will continue now in verses, in chapter 10, verse 26 through 31, and see what the writer of Hebrews is continuing to give to these Hebrew believers and to us, starting with verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has ignored the law of Moses is put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severe punishment do you think that he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So, what are we talking about now as we look at these verses 26 through 31? Here he's saying, if you go on sinning willfully, so that means because you know what sin is, and if you continue in that day by day, then you remember you've already received the truth, the knowledge of the truth. So it's not necessary for a sacrifice to be made for your sins. But if a person is continually going through that, it's a warning to them. After you know the truth, he says, the reality of doing such is trampling underfoot the Son of God and regarding his blood of the new covenant as unclean. It's insulting to the Spirit of grace. So if a person is doing this, the result is a severe punishment than death. It's judgment with fury of a consuming fire, vengeance from the living God himself. So this is a warning to those who know the truth and then turn for it. They turn away from it. They know the truth and they're continuing in willful sin. They know what they're doing. This would be a message to unbelievers, not to the believers. Because he says, for we know him. He's talking about to the believers. And he says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. And again, he says, the Lord will judge his people. And he says that we, his people, back in Romans 1, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those that love the Lord. So here the writer is saying that this message is to those that will not accept, that will not believe upon the word of the Lord. And he is saying there is judgment to come. And also he quoted the scripture that says that vengeance is mine. That means that God himself will bring about vengeance and the Lord will judge his people. And we know that Jesus is going to be the judge when he comes back again, the second time upon the earth. And we'll go ahead now and finish reading Hebrews 10:32-39. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through insults and distress, and partly by becoming compassionate with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So here he is bringing exhortation. He's bringing encouragement to them by reminding them of the days that when they received the word, and because of their receiving the word, that they had gone through a conflict of suffering, and they were made spectacles, public spectacles, through the insults and the distress of those that had not yet received the word of God. And he said that even through this, that you showed sympathy to the prisoners, and you accepted the seizure of your property, knowing that you have better and lasting possessions. He says, don't throw away your confidence, because you have a great reward coming. So you need to endure and keep the will of God, that you may receive what was promised. Now, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, you see the promise that is given. He says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If someone's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only as through fire. So he is saying here that in what you have learned through the word that I've written to you, you have the foundation. And he's saying that if you build on anything other than the foundation of the word of God, then there's coming a day, in the day of judgment, when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom here on this earth, where he will rule and reign, then everything that you have done and what you have built upon will be tested with fire. And you know what he's talking about. If anything is tested with fire, he says, that's testing the quality of your work. And anyone's work that he has built on it remains. If you build on the foundation of the Word of God, then you will receive a reward. But if your work is burned up, if it's been built on gold and silver and precious stones and wood or hay or straw, then it's going to be burned up, and then you will suffer loss. Now, he's talking to believers, but he says, but he himself will be saved, yet only so as through fire. So here he's saying that if you have received the Word of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then even though that you sin or that you build on these other things, you're going to be tested for it. And you only receive a reward by the things that were according to his will, and not by the things that you built up for yourself. So we're going to end our study today. Here he's talking about in the Old Testament. It goes back in these verses we've just finished to the Old Testament law, and there was sacrifice for unintentional sin. The ones that committed sin, they had to make atonement. But there was no sacrifice for intentional or defiant sin because a person knew what God said. But he despised God's word and went against it. That was intentional, defiant against God. So the same thing is true here in the New Covenant as we read. There's severe punishment, a severer punishment than being cut off than death. It's the judgment that you have to face from God. So what have we learned then in this passage in cross-reference to what we have already studied? First of all, we learn that God is faithful to his promises and that he's the God of vengeance, and he repays his vengeance to his people. And we've learned that he is judge and he will destroy all the wicked. And we also know through our study that he is a living God and that he has compassion on his servants and that he keeps those who love him. I just want to finish out today by saying this is completing part two of Hebrews, and we will continue after a break of probably a couple of weeks, and then we'll start back again on the third part, Hebrews 3, which will take us into chapters 11, 12, and 13. So I ask that you be in prayer as we study further and go back while we're on break and refresh your minds with what we have read, what we have studied, what this Hebrew writer through the hand of God, through the Holy Spirit, has spoke to us. What has he spoke to you about? And how are you and how are we going to live in light of what we have learned through his word? So we will close now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are so thankful for your Holy Spirit that has taught us. And I pray, Father, that we will take your word and we will just ponder upon your word. I ask that you just cover us with your word and saturate us that we may live it out, Father, that all that we come in contact with will see your truths in us, see Jesus. And Father, that we will be a light before the world to glorify your name. And we just give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.